I'm happy to introduce now Don Cruz. Don Cruz practices law here in Austin with his own self in the law offices of Don Cruz. He went to UT for college and law school and has an undergraduate degree in economics and math, which is not so common for a lawyer to be able to do math and not be a scared of it. He has a Supreme Court of Texas blog, scotexblog.com, where he gathers numbers, statistics, keeping track of the Supreme Court docket, and that's what he's going to talk about today, Supreme Court by the numbers.
Good morning. Most of you may have seen one of my talks before, and you have a sense of the way this works. The reason we give this talk every year is I think people have questions every year about what answers they can give their clients when they're asked questions about how long things will take, what their odds are, and those things can change a little every year. One of the things that I do, and I've been doing, watching the court for many years, is I kind of track what's happening on an ongoing basis, because the court's internal calendar has, you could think of as seasons or a school year, sort of a regular pattern that it follows. And I've discovered over the years that if you follow this, sometimes you see variations that can tell you something interesting about what's happening in the way that cases are being processed. The most visible output from the court is, of course, the opinions. The number of opinions has been pretty steady over the years. One of the joys of giving this talk in early June is the court's not done yet. On its current schedule, it tries to get all its opinions out by June 30th. There are still, depending on how you count, between 20 and 23 argued cases that have not yet been decided. So some of these numbers will shift in the next couple of weeks before the ink is dry on this PDF. But I'll try to talk to you as I go about where I've used the whole term numbers from last year, where I've used the partial numbers. And if you have questions later in the summer, I'll be updating these with the whole term by the fall. The other most visible thing is probably the oral argument calendar. And this pattern is an old one. It's sort of the school year pattern. The court hears arguments in September and October. Then they have the holiday season like everybody else where the schedule's lighter. They hear a lot of arguments in January and February, sometimes March, and then it usually stops. And at that point, they're processing cases, trying to get those out the door to meet that June 30th deadline. And what that means, I think, you can also see very visibly that the opinions tend to get issued toward the late spring into the early summer. So in the argued cases, there are very, very few in the fall. And if you're, one thing that's nice in the current system is if your case is argued in a term, you can be quite confident in telling your client that, you know, unless we get an abatement order, it's going to be decided by June 30th, but it might be decided pretty close to June 30th, as is happening with some cases this year. And this gives you a sense of how kind of backloaded the decisions are coming out of the court. And one of the characteristics that you see is that the cases decided later tend to have more separate opinions, more concurrences, more dissents. They involved more back and forth with the justices in negotiation to get them out the door. For example, last term, this talk was given a few weeks later. Actually, it was given a week later than it is. And 75% of the opinions issued after this talk had separate opinions. So we'll see if that happens again this year. Grants of review also have a little bit of a pattern to them. And this is one of the things that observed a few years ago by kind of tracking when things were happening on the court's calendar is that there's a period in the spring where the court is kind of laser focused as much as it can be on getting opinions out the door. And so its internal conferences are no longer processing things like briefing requests, study memos, and those things are kind of pushed off until late May or June. And so you see these bursts of activity where you have a lot of grants in June, or a lot of briefing requests in June. The useful thing to know about this is if you have a case that's you've got your response in February or January and you haven't heard anything, it's very possible it's just waiting for May. It's very possible that it's just not yet on the court's conference calendar just for this scheduling reason, and there's nothing unique about your case you or your client may need to worry about.